Yes, indeedy. That's the great Clark Terry with his signature, No Problem. If you didn't know that, 20 lashes with wet spaghetti for you. That's from his 1960 album, Color Changes. He's, of course, on trumpet and flugelhorn in this wonderful album, but this is a classic song called No Problem. And I kind of selected to play that because it's tongue-in-cheek. We have nothing but problems that we've been having since last week. Lots and lots and lots of problems. And they seem to be getting worse as we go along. All over the world, lots of problems. But here in the United States, we have lots going wrong as well with some of the things that we are witnessing and that we'll be dealing with. And immediately, what comes to mind is the famous budget. Now, Trump is today, I haven't seen a copy of the budget. I've seen, you know, snippets of analyses of the budget, but do we really need, is it going to be of any great surprise to us that the budget has in it a lot of hurt and a lot of pain for people? And I want to talk about that. We still haven't seen the actual budget. It's a huge document, of course, and it is the kind of document that experts need to take a look at because a lot of stuff is hidden in budgets. We don't see them because we're not accustomed to reading budgets and where they hide their sins. But we can certainly expect that Donald Trump, who has come under tremendous criticism for, you know, the utterances he made even as he was allegedly formulating his budget. We also know that the Congressional Black Caucus and Congress, the Democratic Party, they have forecast, they anticipate a major problem with the budget, and so it's going to take a while before the budget is hashed out and something of a final document comes back for a final vote of approval or disapproval. We'll see how that goes. But that's where we should start today. And I'll ask you the question, it's probably unfair to ask you, because in asking you, I'm also perhaps projecting that the budget is not going to be a wonderful budget. It's going to have a lot of hurt and pain for working people and the poor. It's not going to deviate from Trump's standard approach to his philosophy and his standard approach to governing, if I dare use that term. His whole administration has a very bleak attitude and a very hostile attitude to working poor and poor people. So I don't expect that a budget, a proposed budget, would depart markedly from that attitude. But I do want to know from you, as we begin to tackle these questions, what would a Trump budget, in your view, what would a Trump budget look like? What do you expect that document to, what is the message that document would send in the way that the president is asking for allocations of taxpayer money to do certain things? And obviously, this is the whole part of a budget that intrigues people. It's one thing to ask for more money to do this, that, and the next, but the case is also made in a budget where you are going to conserve, where you're going to cut, where you're going to retrench resources or reallocate resources from one pot of money and then divert them and put them in another pot of money. It's along these lines that I want you to surmise, if you can. What do you think the philosophy of this budget will be? What would it communicate to all Americans? 888-874-4888. And then we'll move on to our second topic. I just want an overarching view. And I'll ask you on what you base that feeling. It's there's no right or there's no wrong. I just want you to give a sense from your own observation of how things have been going. What do you think the budget will communicate? Where will the hurt be, if there's going to be hurt? Do you expect the Trump budget to be very generous and progressive? Do you expect the Trump budget to kind of give a different take on the president's mentality so far as it relates to governance? Who is going to benefit? Who do you think will suffer? 888-874-4888. Let's see if we have any takers and get started with that question. And I've lost my place here with my notes. Okay. These things happen. You know, I laugh at myself now as I get older. You know, you just accept that crazy things will be happening and you're the cause of them. You can't get mad because you're the one doing it. I just had my place and my notes and I lost them, but I found them again. So we want to talk about that. Why is this important? Because we don't have to wait until a budget, an actual hard document, is finished. What I want us always to do is to kind of get a sense of where things are going. And just based on your observations, based on your instinct, based on your knowledge. Willie from Brooklyn, we start off with you.
Good afternoon, beloved.
Hello.
Good afternoon, beloved.
Good afternoon to you.
This last budget, it was one page, right?
No. That might have been a summary, but the budget tends to be several hundred pages.
Yeah, but he gave a one page on what he wanted, which was for himself and his friends. And based on observing him on the last tax reform, it's going to be the same thing. While everybody else, we're busy making America great again. We're so busy with that, not seeing that this person, I refuse to say president. He's doing for himself and his friends. It's simple.
What specifically do you think is going to be his target in his budget? What do you think are some of the proposals that he will come up with as to where the money ought to go? And by the way, this is all basically on credit. We have no money, really, as a country.
Right.
We're borrowing on credit. Where do you think he is going to put the money, direct the money, and who do you think will suffer?
The working people will
suffer. Because all budgets have that aspect of it.
The working people will be the one that's suffering, the poor working people, and it's construction friends, the war. That's where the money will go. And maybe they'll put some of it, that money, into making America great again.
Mm.
In my judgment, but I do have one question. When you said you're going to make America great again, here's my question. You have to remember, I'm not a very bright person, but in my understanding, when was America ever great?
You're taking us into a whole other place. Let's talk budget. Let's talk budget today. The reason being that it will take us right into a whole different area that requires its own time to really do it well so that we can truly explore what the phrase means. But for today, as he supposedly gets ready to release the summary of his budget.
Okay.
The question is, how are we anticipating this budget? What is it that we are concerned about, if we're concerned about anything at all?
Again, it's just transferring money from poor people to wealthy people, as his record already shows. Simple.
Okay.
That's from my point of view.
Taking from the poor,
giving to the rich.
Giving to the rich.
Before.
Okay. In what areas specifically do you expect? Are you interested in guiding your attention? What areas are of specific interest to you in this budget?
I have no interest in it.
Okay.
It's their business. I think that we should be doing what we need it to do for ourselves. That's their business. They're going to do what they want to do. It is we who, particular African people, who are not doing what we needed it to. Just like the, we have to do for ourselves.
Okay.
Take care
but
of
what, if you had some kind of input in this budget, if you had something to contribute as concerns in a budget, a theoretical budget, what money would you want and where would you like to allocate it?
To education, healthcare, and that kind of the housing, that kind of thing. For poor people, people who are homeless, people who are hungry, that kind of thing. It's very simple.
So social services to reach, at least, and to try to correct some of the circumstances under which so many people are living today. Thanks for getting us started today. All right, that's a pretty good answer. And it tells us that very often, especially in this bifurcated world of the people and the government, the people have a pretty good idea of where the money ought to be directed. And it very often is not. It doesn't turn out to be that way. But I agree with Willie. I agree with what he says about what needs to be helped, what needs attention. Education, healthcare, housing, these are the things that most Americans are concerned with. As the president formulates a budget and the Democratic Party is poised now to do battle with these budget proposals, where would you expect their attention to focus on? And that's a pretty good idea. I agree with that. 888-874-4888. Before we move on to the next subject, I'd like you to give your ideas, your visceral reaction. It is budget proposal day, submission day. What do you expect from the president? What do you see in the budget? Do you even care what's in the budget? Is it important to you? Or, you know, it's just another thing that he's doing? All right. We have no further takers on that subject. So let's move on. Over the weekend, it was very distressing that we heard particular notes from Israel that were very shocking. And then again, not, because we've heard them before. But over the weekend, we had the Prime Minister of Israel making a very shocking statement that Israel is the state of Jewish people alone. That's what he said. And he said this in response to a pretty popular actress who had taken on, who had directed a remark at his administration for leaving out or creating, in effect, an apartheid state and being very one-sided when it comes to all the other ethnic groups, predominantly Arab-speaking. And just the same, Netanyahu maintained in his public statement that Israel is the homeland only, and I'm quoting, only of the Jewish people. That's what he said. And he says anybody who thinks otherwise is confused. They're confused about what Israel is. It is not a cosmopolitan state. It wasn't meant to be. And he reaffirms that Israel is the homeland only of the Jewish people. It is not a land for everybody. It is not, as he says, and I'm quoting, it is not a state of all its citizens, but only of the Jewish people. Now, you know, people are they're free to express their views, but it is, I think you would agree, most unusual to have the chief of state of a country actually say these things out in the open and mean it. And then it now comes to, what is the reaction? I didn't see much of a reaction. I didn't hear much of a reaction. What kind of scenario are we dealing with where the prime minister of a country says it, the country is only for the Jewish people, he says. And if you think anything else, you're sadly mistaken. One, was that an appropriate thing to say? Two, does it reflect the truth of the guiding principle of Israel, the state itself? Is this a truth? Was he expressing a truth about Israel? And why do we not hear the international community going absolutely bonkers about a statement like that? Because, in fact, he validates what people have been charging all along, that more and more Israel has become a rigid apartheid state. And it causes great concern even among Jews in Israel. They are the ones who started the divest and boycott movement, the BDS movement, to bring Israel in line with the world thinking that we can't have a state that maintains this philosophy openly and champions it, and then with the support of millions of dollars from people from the United States and elsewhere in the world, is it now up to these states that contribute to Israel's well-being? Should they withdraw their money? Should they withdraw support? Does this require some kind of world condemnation in the way that South Africa was condemned for the practice of apartheid, not only of a practice of apartheid, not only as some kind of philosophical thinking, but that it was entrenched in day-to-day life in that country? What do you think about a prime minister who says that? Well, of course, we have a president who says really nasty, awful things. But this is, I mean, it goes beyond the things that we have heard before. And it is something that we haven't seen, the kind of reaction to this kind of language on the world scene. We haven't seen it at all. When a president or prime minister of a country says, this country is specifically for Jews, wow, that's one hell of a statement. Jay from New York, what are your feelings about that?
Have no problem whatsoever with what he said.
Okay.
There's a total difference between South Africa and Israel. Israel was created by the United States and others around the world that continuously support it. South Africa was a creation of invaders who the world did not put in place nor support. So whereby with Israel being who they are and the position that they hold as so-called the protector of the interests of America and its allies in that
Regent, he's just speaking the truth.
He's not speaking the truth according to many Jews in Israel itself and here in the United States and worldwide. Many Jews are very offended by his statement.
If they're offended, then they need to collectively, listen to the word clearly, collectively come together and do something about it. Other than that, it's business as usual.
Here's the thing. Should only Jews do that?
Oh, no. Others, that's what I'm saying. They should come together with others who believe that what is being said is not correct. But the thing of the matter is, if they do come together, it's not like it's going to be one of those situations to where they're going to change anything. Because, see, the powers that be want to keep Israel in the position that they're in. Because if it wasn't the case, don't you think that the powers could stop the flow of money? Because the American people sure don't have the power to make them stop giving the money to Israel. So what is that like?
The point I'm making is you're focusing on the money. I'm focusing on philosophy. The philosophy.
No, it's
how legitimate is the philosophy?
You trees. It's only about the money. Because if it wasn't about the money, based on Israel behavior, things would have changed years ago.
I disagree with that. The nation of Israel, which used to be Palestine and which still is Palestine, took on this exceedingly militaristic and racist tone. It used to be everybody, you know, you live and let live. But then we have the ultra hawks coming into power, and they transformed Israel into something that it never was. Israel never was an apartheid state. It was Palestine, and Palestine was where everybody lived. All kinds of people lived in Palestine without a problem. But when it was decided that they would make this narrative up, that this land is ours, God gave this land to us, that is extreme thinking. And I was hoping that, especially in light of Netanyahu's reiteration of such an untenable and offensive position, that we would be hearing howls from all kinds of countries all over the world, but not a peep.
It's past that stage. See, that's what sometimes we don't get. You're not dealing with decency, humanity, or anything of that nature.
No, I'm not. This is not about decency or humanity. This is about legality.
No, but legality doesn't mean anything with illegal people. That's the thing. You keep on making it seem as though it's morality and it's decency, but people who are not moral don't have those characteristics.
But you're misunderstanding me. I am very much aware about the decency and morality argument. That's not the argument I'm making. I'm making the argument that allegedly this philosophy is illegal. It's against the law, international law. And we haven't heard any objections so far, nothing substantive, but we'll see where it goes. Thanks for your input today. Jim from Harlem, you're on the air.
As far as Netanyahu's comments, I'm not surprised. I mean, he's, you know, they are the apartheid system reincarnate. Remember, they helped out South Africa during the apartheid era. I'm not surprised, not in the least. And another thing, Israel can do no wrong, nothing. No matter deeds, words, they can do no wrong in the eyes of some. And the political class is beholden to them. They pay them. They will not bite the hand that feeds them. But again, am I surprised? Not in the least.
Which political class are you talking about?
I'm talking about the politicians in the United States.
Okay.
U.S. Senate, Congress.
You do know that's a pretty large generalization.
I do say that. Okay, I'll with the exceptions of Omar and what's the name you leave in the Bronx? OAC, her initials.
Yes.
Okay, I'm generalizing, but for the most part, Utrecht, it's been like that for years. And you know what?
Don't sway from the subject, because we're going to be all over the place.
Okay.
The Prime Minister of Israel has made the statement that the country is only for Jews. Interpret that statement.
Well, that's a very broad definition. What is a Jew? I mean, European, Sephardic, Ethiopian. By the way, he's saying those mainly Jews of European descent. For example, the Ethiopian Jews are treated very badly in Israel, very badly. They are subjected to racist attacks. They live in some of the poorest areas in Israel, for example. I'm not surprised. You know, in my opinion, he's talking about mostly Jews of European extraction.
But even if he is talking about that, how does that statement sit with you? When the head of state says,
I think it's horrible. It's horrible. I mean, they call themselves a democracy, I believe, don't they?
Well, we don't know what they call it. We don't know what they call it. But we do know that there's a very active resistance in Israel, which is good. But I'm asking for your reaction about a statement like this coming from a head of state, to which the United States gives billions of dollars of everybody's money. Everybody's tax dollars is part of the budget that is allocated to Israel every single year. They get their money in a lump sum. They don't have to wait for installments. And we have the recipient, which is, crassly, you have a country that is one of the largest welfare recipients in the world, as far as the United States is concerned. Mm-hmm. And the United States boasts that it is, for civil rights and equal rights and down with racism and all of that stuff. And you have the recipient, the head of a country, receiving this kind of funding, making a statement. Emphatically, he made it to, he made it understood in case anybody was kind of missing the point. He made the statement and was emphatic about it, that Israel is specifically for the Jews.
Well, your point is well taken. And they should, the Congress and all the supporters of Israel should come out and condemn Netanyahu en masse, like they did the young lady from Minnesota, Congresswoman Omar. They had speech. Just condemned the Wiley. They should do the same thing to Netanyahu. They he should be condemned across the board. The UN should condemn him. I mean, but again,
okay.
Let's say they
condemn him. Now what?
Now what? Take away his money.
Now what?
That's cut off their funding until they prove otherwise. That's what I would
do. Well, here's the thing to consider. We're clear, we have the same problem here in the United States, where the conduct of our head of state is just so reprehensible on the global level. It's just so unbelievably tacky. Mm-hmm. The lying, the misrepresentation, the continual, just lying and behaving in a manner completely inconsistent with what the office is. How do you deal with somebody like that? Because you could say, well, Netanyahu made this statement. It is foul. It is disgusting. Mm-hmm. However, what could you do about it?
Well, I don't think there's a whole lot we can do about it. I mean, we could, voice our displeasure with it. We can ask them to be removed. But on this end, I mean, as long as you got those lobbyists and AIPAC types, and unless we can get our local politicians, to condemn him, across the board, I don't think there's a whole lot you can do, personally. I wish they would. I think that, I think it'd be only fair they would. But will they? I doubt it. It's highly unlikely that they will take any kind of action. There may be maybe one or two persons that condemn him, but as far as a body, I don't think they'll do it. Just like with the Trump, with his lies and, mischaracterizations on a broad scale. We can vote him out. We can't do it to Netanyahu, though. But again, unless people on a grassroots level make the politicians say something or complain to them that they're displeased with these actions. And, something we can, I think we can do for those that, won't come out against them. We have an option. Don't vote for them. Vote them out. Get them out of office. These rubber stamps, like you said, we give billions of dollars to Israel. They have free college over there, free health care. I don't have that here for my kids. Really? But, we have options, but again, unless we can get the body politic to change, it will be status quo.
Well, I think you're hinting at something here, which hasn't happened yet, and that is a cross-pollination. There are Jews in Israel, large numbers of them, who feel disgraced by this prime minister, who, by the way, is under corruption charges. His wife is facing corruption charges as well. But we're not seeing, a thing like this would typically cause some people to talk to each other. What do we do? What do we do in the United States? What do we do, demand that they do in Israel, so that this statement will serve as the be-all and end-all? If he ever thought that people were not serious about it and would live with this kind of insult, and also in solidarity. Jews in modern day times, they are a fairly recent presence in Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
The biblical days of Palestine, everybody lived there.
Yeah.
And nobody really, there was no government rule that says, unless you are Palestinian by birth, and people could vouch for you and all. That was not it. It was typical of the way people lived back in those times.
Mm-hmm.
It was a point for transience. So I don't understand this statement at all. I was very, very upset about it. And more so that there was little reaction. Did you hear anything about a reaction to what he had said over the
weekend? I can tell you one thing. I'm not shocked. Unlike you. I'm not surprised. Not in the least.
I'm not shocked. I'm shocked that there is no reaction.
Well,
I'm asking the question in light of what is supposed to be an activist position here. We should have activists accounting for themselves in the United States with regard to the statement, mm-hmm. and activists certainly in Israel.
Well, we have the boycott Israel, was it called BDS, I think?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Now, let's be logical. Hit them in the pocket. That's the only way things change. That's the only way you get them to listen. That's the only time the people speak up.
In the beginning, even as it is done, this was done on, Saturday, that we still see no reaction to speak of. Except
you're not going to see reactions. If you do, it's going to be muted. And you ain't going to see it on MSNBC. You ain't going to see it on NNN. You sure as heck ain't going to see it on Fox News. Let's be clear. What it is, they're all in the cahoots with each other. They're not going to blow this up. Now, if you go on alternative media, maybe online or YouTube, you hear about people protest or other voices speaking out against this. But if you're looking for a mainstream reaction, you're not going to get it because they have got it locked down. They got them locked down. Dissension is muted. You might hear, like I said, maybe a little here and there, but nothing on a substance level. Like I said, Omar with her alleged anti-Semitism, she got they gave her more blowback than they gave Netanyahu. they are like I said, and they control the media. They control the information pipeline. They have all the triggers. They know what they will mute it. This will be forgotten in a few days if it isn't already.
All right.
But again, I'm with you. It should be. You know, where's the outrage? What can we do? Again, we can only do things on a grassroots level. That's all we can do. We can we could take action. People like us. This conversation, for example, is the way to take action. People listening to this program is the way to take action. But,
thank you for your input today. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
David from Brooklyn, what are your thoughts on this?
Good afternoon, Eutrice. I am not surprised at what he said. What the Prime Minister said was no more than a confirmation of what's been the history of the creation of Israel from the beginning. So, you know, he just verbalized these things. Now, if you expect people to be so upset about this, look at all the things that the Israeli state has done, let's say in just the recent past, like the shooting down of hundreds of Palestinians through a wall, through a fence by snipers. I don't see any great uprise about that in the population. We still provide the arms and the training to the Israeli state. I think also we have to recognize that we should be outraged about the treatment of the Palestinians. People forget the history of Palestine. Under the colonial domination of the Ottoman Empire first, and then after the First World War, they were taking over under British domination as a colony of Palestine. Now, the point is, the Palestinians never got a chance to do anything about determining self-determination. And the country was gotten by the Eastern Europeans, the Zionist infrastructure that came there, and taken over by ethnic cleansing. You see, people forget the history where more than 700,000 Palestinians were ethnically cleansed from Palestine, as you talk about 1967 also. That's over 1 million people were cleared out of the land by the Zionist forces, and there's no justice in that. So, you know, it's no surprising when Netanyahu says it's a state of the Jewish people and not for its citizens, and only includes being a state for them, the Jewish people. Not surprising to me. And, you know, talking about the billions and billions of dollars that the American taxpayer pays to maintain this essentially apartheid state year after year, as well as the private funds that go in to maintain that state, this is really outrageous, but it goes along every year, and no one says anything about it. So we're in a terrible situation where any criticism of the Zionist regime in Israel brings the commendation of condemnation of people for being what they call anti-Semitic, really anti-Jewish. And, you know, that silences everybody. It's a terrible, terrible thing we're dealing with. As far as the situation saying that, you know, Israel is a great ally and whatnot, tell that to the survivors of the USS Liberty that the Israeli state attacked a naval ship and killed and wounded over 200,000, 200 American servicemen, and tried to sink the ship and blame it on the Egyptians. Now, and never was there any congressional investigation at all, and that was just quietly put to the side by. We're in a situation where the long and short of it, Netanyahu can say anything he wants to say, and he's just confirming what the situation is in Palestine, which is now called Israel, after it was taken for the Palestinians by ethnic cleansing starting in 1948 and before. So that's what we're looking at.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us today, David. Thank you so much. Another issue of anti-Semitism occurred. I don't know what was in the water this weekend, but this certainly was, where we had Judge Jeanine Pirro, who was a fixture on Fox. But here's the surprising thing. She attacked the representative from, I believe it's Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, who wears a hijab, which is a head covering, and raised questions as to, in fact, she publicly raised the question that this very thing, this symbolic thing of covering the head according to Islamic practices, raises questions about Omar's allegiance to the United States. And she kind of insinuated that there's every reason to distrust Omar because she may be one of the Muslims still loyal to radical Islam. And in no time, I must say this very clearly, in no time at all, Pirro, who normally you know, had the blessings of Fox News. Fox News apparently has learned something of a lesson about racism and prejudice. They condemned her, openly condemned her comments, and she's kind of backtracking, trying to see if she can save herself, but it's too late. The cat is already out of the bag. She crossed the line, even for Fox News, in saying something this derogatory and racist, and she's now on the defensive. But here we have, here's a judge, or former judge, I don't know if she's still a judge, but daring, feeling comfortable enough on air to spend a lot of time making this so-called point that because Congresswoman Omar wears a hijab, that she should be considered, you know, suspect with regard to her allegiance to America, because the hijab, according to Jeanine Pirro, the enlightened judge, the extremely intelligent judge, is now making the case that we have to watch Omar because she may just be an agent of ISIS or some radical terrorist group. And finally, they have succeeded in planting somebody in Congress. This is where a supposedly intelligent person is going. The good news to report here is that it didn't take long before she got really throttled about making such an outrageous statement. So racist. And so plain, just plainly stupid. Just plainly stupid. And this is a person who comes out of the field of law. And she said it as if it were fact. And this is where the United States has gone under Donald Trump. This is the level of discourse that we have sunk to, where instead of engaging in intelligent conversation and, you know, debating the issues of the day, we have blithering idiots like this being given, you know, leeway on the nation's airwaves by irresponsible media like Fox News. But I have, again, to repeat, Fox News was most emphatic in its condemnation of one of its own commentators. We haven't seen that. The thing is that Pirro still is employed there. They need to go a little further and remove such a toxic presence from the airwaves. She does not deserve to be on air influencing public opinion. This is something I think people should do something about. Call up Fox and say it's not enough to just simply say they condemn this. One, they should have shut her down on the air itself. Just when she started making these outrageous comments, they should have cut her show off, kicked her off the air. And instead of having her go on and reinforcing what she considered to be a surefire theme, totally racist, she should be off the air. And that is something we can do. There's no reason that any medium should have a person represented this way, promulgating this kind of stuff, this kind of hatred and racism. It is unacceptable, and we should let Fox know it. This is unacceptable. We're glad that you openly condemned her statements, but it's not enough. She's got to go. And that brings us to the end of this program today. I thank you very much for contributing. Still a lot more to come tomorrow. My list is not even halfway done. We haven't gotten halfway through my list of things to discuss today. But I'm delighted, and I consider it such a great fortune to have people, thinking people like you, contributing and expanding our minds, expanding our thoughts, opening up our horizons, considering new possibilities. And that's the beauty of the station. I really thank you so much for maintaining a high standard on the program. So we'll see each other tomorrow. And thank you so much for listening and contributing today. Bye-bye.